This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, this is Mary Beth Gianni bringing you this time Highlights Magazine, Fun with a Purpose. And as always, it starts with a poem, which is called Unexpected Shower by Eileen Spinelli. No raincoats, no umbrellas, no boots, and no hats. Cars puddle past us with splashes and splats. We're soaked to our skin, but we laugh as we run. Who says sudden showers in spring can't be fun? Next is an idea, things to do. Windowsill garden. Turn veggie scraps into new food with just jars, water, and sun. Instead of tossing your vegetable ends into the compost or trash, follow these easy steps to keep the food growing. And there are 6 steps. First, cut off the base of a vegetable. This will be your scrap. It should be about 1 or 2 inches tall. 2, place the scrap in a small glass jar or shallow dish, root side down. 3, add just enough water, an inch or less, to cover some of the base. 4, put the jar on a sunny windowsill. 5, change the water every 2 or 3 days. And 6, after a week or two, you'll see growth. After a few weeks, you'll be able to clip pieces from the top and enjoy a windowsill salad. When the scrap has grown several roots, you can plant it in soil, root side down, with the leaves sticking out. Wait until after the last frost. Next is the Almanac of Fun for the month of May. The whole month is National Salsa Month. Get your tortilla chips ready. Do you like your salsa mild or spicy? Earlier this year, a new pepper called Pepper X was officially declared the world's hottest chili pepper. Pepper grower Ed Curry cultivated the pepper on his farm for over 10 years, breeding it from some of his hottest peppers. Curry also held the previous record for hottest pepper with the Carolina Reaper. And he's not stopping there. He's on a mission to create an even hotter pepper next. And also for the whole month is Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. We can celebrate the achievements of these communities. Oh, and it says start by turning to page 23 to learn how Emmy Kim helps her school's libraries get books that reflect a wide range of people so that more kids can see themselves and learn about others. So we'll hear more about that in a minute. On May 5th is World Laughter Day, so get some good jokes. There's one joke here. Where do comedians go on vacation? Joke-lahoma. So hopefully that will make you laugh for World Laughter Day. On May 12th, wish all the mother figures in your life a happy Mother's Day. On May 10th is National Golf Day. Throughout the month of May, some of the best golfers in the world will compete in several different championships. May 17th is Endangered Species Day. Many species become endangered due to habitat loss or other threats. But through conservation efforts, some can be recovered. For example, one bird species, the San Clement Bell's Sparrow, and 4 plant species native to San Clemente Island of California were taken off the endangered species list this year. Conservationists removed non-native animals like sheep and cattle from the island to allow the habitat to recover. May 27th is Memorial Day, when we remember U.S. soldiers who have died while serving in the military. One way to honor these heroes is by pausing for 1 minute of silence during the National Moment of Remembrance at 3 p.m. local time. Next, we have a story called Stepping Up by Karen Delacava. Jonah pressed his fist into his dad's old baseball glove as he stared out the window of his stepfather's van. Not a day went by that he didn't think about Dad and how much he missed him. He inhaled the glove's warm, leathery scent. The van stopped at the edge of the baseball field. "Hey, buddy, have fun at practice, and don't forget about your sister's recital tonight," said Jonah's stepfather, Steve, as Jonah climbed out. The door thunked closed, and the tires crunched over the gravel leading away from the field. "Zoe is not my sister, and you can't tell me what to do," Jonah grumbled to himself. A bunch of guys from the team waved to Jonah from the dugout. He jogged over half-heartedly. "Why do you look so unhappy?" David asked. "I have to go to my stepsister's dance recital," Jonah said with a groan. "It could be worse," David replied. Jonah shot him an "I highly doubt that" expression. "What if you had to perform in it?" Kevin said as he leaped and twirled like a rodeo bull. Jonah tried not to smile. The truth was, he had a lot of mixed up feelings since Mom married Steve a few months ago. Jonah had always loved baseball, but even that felt different lately. He could barely concentrate. At bat, he couldn't hit a pitch. And on the field, he was as useful as the dandelions. After practice, Jonah and David sat on the bleachers and waited for their ride. "I wish things didn't have to change," Jonah said. "You know, for my mom and me." "I have a stepmother and stepbrother, too," David said, as if it were no big deal. Jonah hadn't realized that. "Seriously? You seem so cool about it." David shrugged. "They're just Mom and Dennis now. Give it a chance." Jonah let out a breath, still unsure about the recital tonight. Still unsure about everything. Back at the apartment, Jonah found Zoe in her costume, but something was wrong. Her arms were folded tight across her chest and her eyes were glossed with tears. "What's wrong, Zoe?" Jonah asked. "Opening night jitters," his stepfather said. "She doesn't want to be in the recital," Mom said. "Huh. This should have been the best thing that could have happened, the possibility of not having to go to the performance. But somehow it wasn't. Zoe had practiced so hard, and she'd reminded Jonah at least 1,000 times where she would be on stage. Jonah remembered Kevin's leaps and twirls. "How about I take your place? May I borrow your costume?" Zoe looked closely at him. "You're too big." "True," Jonah said in a disappointed voice. A smile tugged at Zoe's lips. "You weren't afraid to dance in front of us, right?" he said gently. Zoe shook her head. "When you get on stage, pretend you're dancing here in the apartment. Can you try that?" After a minute, Zoe nodded. Then she gave Jonah an unexpected hug. Jonah hugged her back. "You're going to be great, Zoe," he announced. "Hey, buddy, I fixed that dresser drawer that kept getting stuck." Steve gestured toward Jonah's room. Jonah went to check it out. He tested the drawer and then glanced inside. "No way! 4 tickets to the Lasers game?" Jonah's favorite minor league team. Mom and Steve stood in the doorway. "An early birthday gift," Steve said. "Wow, thank you," Jonah said. "And thank you for talking to Zoe," Mom said. That night at the dance recital, Jonah gave Zoe a thumbs up before she disappeared into a sea of sparkly dancers gathering backstage. He hoped she wouldn't change her mind. Then Jonah, Mom, and Steve found their seats. A lady next to Mom asked, "Who are you here to see?" "My daughter Zoe is in the Bumblebee number," Mom answered. Mom didn't use the word stepdaughter. Jonah knew that Zoe would have liked that. "Here goes. My sister will be the 4th bumblebee from the left," Jonah added, smiling. Then he turned to Steve. Jonah had never really called Steve anything. He still wasn't ready to call him Dad. Using his first name didn't feel right either. Jonah peered cautiously at his stepfather. "Right, Pops?" "You got it, buddy," Steve said, his whole face lighting up. Okay, it was a little strange, but it made Jonah feel good to see his expression. As the house lights dimmed in the theater, Jonah settled into his seat. Zoe danced, her stage fright nowhere in sight. She even blew kisses to the audience when it was over. Jonah clapped and cheered for his little sister, along with the crowd and the rest of his family. Next is an article called Plant Pets. They're cute, they need food and water, and some are even fuzzy. People send flowers to let others know they're thinking of them. They may bring a houseplant as a gift when visiting a friend. They plant trees and bushes and vegetable gardens. Why all this greenery? Plants bring us joy. They add oxygen to the air. Outdoor plants attract bees, butterflies, and other pollinators. It's fun to watch plants change and thrive and bloom, and sometimes you can even eat them. In some ways, plants are like little green pets. They need food, water, sunlight, and care. This mini guide can help you think about which plants you might enjoy growing and which might be happy in your home or garden. Choosing a plant pet. You have lots of options. You can find some ideas here or explore the many other fascinating plants out there. Just do some research first to make sure that the plant you like is non-toxic and will grow well in your home or climate. So they have five categories here, starting with house plants, which include wax plants, friendship plants, and spider plants. Or you can grow veggies, fruits, and herbs like basil, strawberries, or bush beans. You can grow flowers like zinnia, African violets, or Gerbera daisies, succulents like hens and chicks, a holiday cactus, or a burrow's tail. Or there are strange specimens like air plants, which don't even need soil, Venus flytraps, or pitcher plants. When choosing outdoor plants, check the label to see if they're annuals or perennials. Annuals die at the end of the growing season. Perennials come back year after year. With an adult's help, choose a place to plant. Wear gardening gloves and use a hand fork to loosen up the dirt. Remove rocks and weeds. Plant your seeds or plant following the instructions on the label. Add soil taken from the hole, then water the spot. What's your zone? On a plant label, you may see a zone listed. That refers to plant hardiness zones, which reflect different climates. Find your zone on the map, then choose outdoor plants that thrive there. The temperatures refer to how cold a zone usually gets. You can also visit planthardiness.ars.usda.gov with a parent for a detailed map. Some plants like a lot of water, others don't. Some like sun, others like shade. When choosing a plant, make sure you can give it a home where it will thrive. That might mean a sunny window, a shady spot, or a special kind of soil. Before you buy a plant or seeds, check the label to see what it needs, or do some research to learn how to take care of it. Next is the spotlight story on tulips. April and May are usually the best months to see tulips. About 1,000 years ago, travelers in the mountains of Central Asia spotted some beautiful wildflowers. They brought them home to Turkey and Iran, and gardeners started cultivating them. the flowers became known as tulips. When tulips arrived in Western Europe about 400 years ago, probably on trading ships, people in Holland were fascinated. The most valuable tulips had streaks of color like flames. Rich merchants collected them to show off. The rarest tulips became so expensive that in 1637, one famous bulb was offered for the same price as a large house in Amsterdam. People soon realized how outrageous this was and started to lose interest. The prices quickly dropped. But people continued to enjoy the flowers. Today, tulips with names like Pretty Princess and Daydream cover hundreds of fields in Holland. Visitors come from all over the world for Holland's tulip festivals and flower parades. Of course, you don't have to travel that far to see tulips. You can plant them in your own backyard. There are more than 3,000 types of tulips today. Oh, and next is our Gallant Kids story that was referenced earlier in the magazine. This is about Emmy Kim, who inspires kindness through the power of reading. Emmy Kim, age 11, noticed that her school library didn't have many books with characters who look like her, so she decided to change that. Through bake sales and lemonade stands, Emmy raises money to buy and donate books that reflect a wider range of people so everyone can feel included. They asked her three questions about this project. How does your project promote kindness? We are sometimes afraid of what we don't know, so that's probably a reason some people are unkind to those who are different from them. Books are an accessible way to meet new people and learn about cultures. My hope is that kids reading these books will embrace our differences. Have your fundraisers done well? At our first one, we raised $762 and purchased 15 books for 5 different schools. This group includes books by and about Pacific Islanders, Asian Americans, African Americans, Indigenous peoples, and Latinos and Hispanic Americans. At our second one, we raised over $3,000 and donated books about kids with disabilities and different family structures. This group has 21 books, and we donated a set to 12 different schools. How do you choose the books? I do research by reading library books or by watching YouTube read-alouds. From the first group, one of my favorite is Eyes That Kiss in the Corners. It's about an Asian girl who realizes her eyes are different from her friends and embraces that. From the second group, one of my favorites is A Kind of Spark. The main character is neurodivergent, like me, and I also like the storyline. Next is 5 questions for a bug scientist. Dr. Sammy Ramsey studies bees and other insects to keep our planet buzzing. The first question is, when did you become interested in insects? I was around 7 years old. I was always the smallest kid in my class. Seeing that bugs were tiny but doing all these cool and complicated things helped me connect with them. Why should we care about insects? About 3/4 of the animals on this planet are insects, and they're so important to our ecosystem. A big part of my work is trying to keep bees healthy. When bugs get sick, you can't perform surgery. You have to get creative about how to treat them. What do you love about your job? No day is the same as another. One day I might be working with bee eggs, and the next day I might be trying to keep a colony of lacewings alive. My work on bees takes me around the world, to Peru, Thailand, Australia, Vietnam. I can't get bored. How can we help bees? I work with honeybees, but there are 20,000 other kinds of bees in the world. All bees need the same things we do: food and a place to live. Planting wildflowers or leaving lawns a little wild can help. One patch of flowers can feed thousands of pollinators. What would you say to kids who are afraid of bugs? I was scared of bugs when I was a kid. I thought bugs woke up in the morning thinking, how can I ruin Sammy's day? I worked through my fear by learning and reading about insects. I realized that a lot of the things I was afraid of weren't real. Bugs are just out there looking for food, looking for friends, and trying to build things. It's cool to see what they do. Next is ever wonder? This is a question sent in by Mary, who is 9 years old and lives in Tennessee. She asks, how does food get moldy? If certain foods aren't eaten fast enough, molds might say, finders keepers, and claim the snack. But what exactly are molds, and how do they grow on our grub? Molds are a type of fungus, a simple living thing that's neither a plant nor an animal. They need the right food, temperature, and amount of air and water to grow. When you look at a patch of mold, you're looking at a big group or colony of super tiny mushroom-shaped structures. Like plants, they have roots that can extend into whatever they are growing on. They also have a stalk. And at the top of the stalk, they grow and release spores, a type of cell. The spores spread by traveling over air or water. When one lands on something that gives it what it needs to live, it takes root and multiplies, growing a new colony. There are ways to prevent mold growth. Molds often develop more slowly in cold temperatures, so many fresh foods last longer if kept in a fridge. Freezing food blocks mold growth. And since molds need moisture, dehydrated or dried out foods like raisins and jerky can stay mold-free for a while too. Very high heat kills many mold spores before they get a chance to grow. By cooking foods and then sealing out air, companies can package frozen and canned foods that won't spoil as fast as fresh ones, as long as they're kept in their sealed containers. Mold spores can be unhealthy, so if you do spot moldy chow, avoid eating or sniffing it. Sometimes the moldy part can be removed and the rest is okay to eat, but always ask an adult how to handle a moldy food. Mold isn't all bad news. Some foods, like certain cheeses, are made with edible molds, and in the natural world, mold helps break things down or decompose so that their nutrients can be used again. But in general, you'll want to keep mold away from you and your snacks. Next up is Ask Arizona. My grandma is like a mom to me, and I want to buy her an extra special present for Mother's Day. Any ideas? This is from a grateful grandson in Golden. And Arizona responds, "Dear grateful grandson, it's awesome that you and your grandma are so close. My friend Ollie has lived with his grandmother since he was a baby, and Abuela is the kindest, smartest, funniest person imaginable. Anyway, I know how hard it can be to find the perfect Mother's Day gift. Ollie and I were on our way home from skateboarding in the park one morning when Ollie said, 'Watch out! Pigeon alert!' I carefully zipped around two pigeons sharing a long worm. 'Look at them enjoying their breakfast,' I said. 'Yummy,' said Ollie. 'Speaking of yummy,' I said, You and Abuela are coming over for the Mother's Day tea party at my house this afternoon, right? Ollie paused. I'm not sure that tea parties are exactly my cup of, tea. Fine with me, I said. That means more of my dad's famous Black Forest cake for yours truly. Ollie screeched to a stop. Nobody said anything about Black Forest cake. Oh, so you suddenly love the idea of a tea party? I said. I love any kind of party if there's cake, Ollie said. Of course, I chuckled. So I made a card for my mom, but I still want to find some present to go with it. I wanted to buy roses for Abuela, said Ollie, but everything is so expensive at the flower store. I can barely afford a leaf. Just then, our neighbor, who was watering her garden, waved and called, Good morning, kiddos. Ollie waved back. Good morning, Mrs. Nishikawa. Your garden is always so pretty, I said. Oi, it's a mess, she groaned. My back has been acting up and I haven't weeded for days. I have a little time before soccer practice if you want some help, Ollie offered. I can help too, I said. Mrs. Nishikawa smiled. You two are lifesavers. Ollie and I decided to turn our task into a competition. So we asked Mrs. Nishikawa to set a timer. When it buzzed half an hour later, we asked her to judge who had the biggest pile of weeds. She called it a tie and said we could choose whatever flowers we liked for Mother's Day bouquets. We clipped, arranged, and wrapped everything in big sheets of sparkly paper and string. These look just as good as the ones at the store, I said. Even better, said Ollie. As Ollie and I headed back with skateboards in one arm and flowers in the other, we came up with a plan. Nobody will think to look in my bedroom closet, I said. That'll be the perfect place to hide these. Good idea, said Ollie. Then at the exact right time, we'll shout surprise and amaze everybody. But you know how perfect plans don't always work out perfectly? Here's how our surprise actually went. Everybody elegantly sipped tea and not so elegantly gobbled cake. Then we took turns saying things we loved and appreciated about Abuela and my mom. Right after my sister and brother sang the goofy song they had made up, Ollie and I snuck off to get our surprise. No, I yelled when I got to the bedroom. Everyone rushed to see what was happening. Right there, happily rolling around in front of my closet, were two extremely naughty cats in a big mess of petals, stems, and string. Goodness, said my mom. It looks like Charlie and Cow are having a party of their own. Once upon a time, these were beautiful bouquets, I sighed. What a lovely thought, said my mom. I think I figured out why the cats are so excited, my dad said, picking up a handful of tiny green leaves and white blossoms. This stuff might be catnip. My mom was the first to giggle. Then everyone else started laughing too. We all laughed until our bellies ached. So, dear Grateful, instead of worrying about the perfect thing to buy, how about creating great memories with your grandmother? You could make her a card, gather a wildflower bouquet, or even create a coupon book that will help you create those memories. It could say things like, take turns making up a silly story, or let's make a banana split with the most creative toppings we can think of. One more extremely important thing. If you ever have a party with Black Forest cake, keep in mind that if you invite Ollie, he will eat more than his share. Ciao for now, Arizona. And I'm going to have to say ciao for now, too. Thank you for joining me for Highlights for Children, the May edition. This is Mary Beth Gianni. Thanks, and have a great day.